In 1918, he had a big epidemic on influenza. And I got the share from my cousin Jeanette, the flu too. I went to visit my cousin. I was pregnant that time. And I went to visit my cousin. And it was almost every house had 2, 3 people, 4 people, sometimes everybody was from the house sick, laying in bed. And we couldn't get doctors enough, and the hospitals were filled up. It was just awful. And people were dying, one by one they were dying. Young people, all people, especially younger people, were dying out. And I was going to my cousin C. She had a cold. That time, didn't call it the influenza, but she had a cold. What's the matter with Jeanette? Jeanette has a cold. That's the way I was taught. Well, I lived on, at that time on Roosevelt and Crawford Avenue, and my aunt lived on Millard Avenue. And I went to see Jeanette, and I found her in bed. And she was a single girl at that time, yeah. And she was about a year younger, or same age with me, or so. And she was laying in bed, and I lay down on her bed, kept her company. And that night I came home and I took sick on the flu. And she had cousins that took sick on the flu. Shall I repeat that to what I told you before about the pearl?
Oh, just about the kids.
No. So I took sick at that time too, and my husband was working at that time. My aunt used to come to see me in the afternoon every now and then, and I was in bed for a week with the flu, with the influenza, yeah. And then she called the doctor. The doctor here was from her same city, from Europe. He, Dr. Weissman was his name. And he came to see me. She called him. And he told my aunt that night that I might have the baby. So if he would have told her that I was going to have the baby, take me to the hospital, maybe they would have taken me to the hospital. But he didn't say anything. He only told her that I might have the baby at that tonight. Well, my aunt stayed with me a whole night. She didn't go away anymore. And I got in labor, and she called the doctor. And he came, and I had the baby. That same night, I had the baby. That was the 3rd of November. I had the baby, and the baby was born. It wasn't alive. He had something around his neck, and he untied him, and he pet him over his behind. And I heard him cry. It was a nice little boy with black hair, a tiny little baby. And he said, take him to the incubator, to the hospital. And he told him where to go. And my aunt and my husband wrapped him in a blanket, and he got a cab, and they took him to Presbyterian Hospital. And he left him there, and he only lived for 6 hours, and he died. And I had that time a nurse, a very nice nurse. I used to, and they didn't tell me that the baby died. I found out from the nurse. She didn't tell me either. But I was so happy that I had a baby and he was alive. So I said to her, nurse, do you think I'll be able to nurse the baby when I take the baby home? And she said to me, well, you're young yet, you'll have plenty other babies, just like that. You'll have plenty other babies. So I understood that the baby's dead. So I cried that time, and my aunt came running, and my husband came running. I was almost on the deathbed myself at that time. I couldn't get over that. I wanted so much that baby. I looked forward to have that baby. And I laid in the hospital and I didn't talk to anybody, I didn't say anything. My husband came, they comforted me, my aunt came, she tried to comfort me, and I couldn't get over this shock at that time. And I stayed in the hospital a couple more days because at that time they needed a hospital, so there were so many people that were sick, and I came home at that time. And hundreds of people died in Chicago alone that I knew. A lot of our friends died from the influenza at that time. And after that, I wanted the baby, almost right away I wanted the baby. But the doctor said I should wait a little bit. I'll get a little stronger and I'll have another baby. So one day I was going to my aunt and I saw two little girls running after my aunt. My aunt was coming home with bundles from the grocery. And I said, lady, I'm hungry. And I stopped crying and I said to my husband, oh my God, I said, let's adopt the little girl. So he said to me, you're so young, honey. Why adopt children? You'll have many children of your own. We're going to have children of our own. Let's wait a little bit. So then I tried to get pregnant and for a couple of months. You know, you have to wait a few months after a pregnancy, after you have a child. And I even went to a doctor. It was about 3 months. I couldn't get pregnant. So I even went to a doctor. I forgot his name, doctor. It was a doctor, a gynecologist. And I wanted to know what was wrong with me. I couldn't get pregnant. Because my baby was born on December, the second one, on December the 1st in 19. So from November, 9 months, December, so it was about 13, 14 months apart. So the doctor patted me over the shoulder and he said, you're a young girl yet, you have plenty of children yet, don't worry about it. And then I had the baby, the second boy. He was born December the 1st in 1990. And I was very, very happy. And the other baby, Faye, I planned. I lived in the back of the store, and I lived in several stores in the back with Sammy. So I didn't want to have a baby. I lived on that.
I wanted to get that straight, you know, which was where. You, where did you live with Saul before you moved into the back of the store?
When
you were first married.
When I was first married, he went to the army. I lived with some people.
What about before he went to the army? It wasn't that very long.
Before he was went to the army, I lived with strangers.
Both of you?
Both of us. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I lived there before, and when I married Sal, I took him in.
I see.
I took him in
okay.
with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when he went away. I moved away from there, and my aunt found me a room with a nice young couple. They had one little girl. She lives now in California, in Hollywood. She lives in Hollywood.
And when he came back, he stayed there with you too, right? Is that where you had the baby?
No. When he came back, I took an apartment. They were already crowded. They had two children. And they needed room for themselves. And I wanted an apartment already. So we took the apartment. I lived with them on Central Park and 12th Place, or 13th to 12th Place. And I moved. I got a little apartment on Roosevelt and Crawford Avenue. That's Pulaski now. And there were doctors in the front, lived, had their offices. And there was a two rooms way in the back. They had no washroom, no bathtub, only a large room that I had my kitchen and, in my dining room together, one large room, and a bedroom.
Was the store in front?
No, there was no store. The store was later. And there where the first baby was born, in that apartment where I lived on the Roosevelt Road.
You were working right before then, too, at Sears, weren't you? Was the Sears store there?
That was before my husband came home from the army. I worked at Sears. And then later, when I moved across the street of Sears in the 30s, I went back to work at Sears at Ova.
But you were in this first place where you lived with the strangers, that's where you worked at Sears. It was across the street.
Yeah, where I worked with this year, family Vermans. I lived with them. The family Vermans, I lived with them. So this was not across the street. You have to go two small blocks or three blocks. I was near Roosevelt Road, and this was by Arkington. There's two small blocks, Sears. Later, when I lived on Polk Street, that was across the street of Sears at Oval. When I lived on Polk Street in the 30s, then I went to work the second time. I worked in a basement. In fact, there's a girl that I, that time, she lives around here, Toby's her name. She took me up over there. She took me up to Sears and over. And I was operating there, operating buttons and so on, gun machine, everything on machine I was doing. And she was giving out threats, she was giving out to the people in the shop. But
so you didn't have a store at all until Saul came back, right?
Until Saul came back. Saul came back, he stopped working for Marsha Fields.
Again? Didn't he work before he left?
Before he left, he worked at Marsha Fields.
And then he quit because?
Account of the Army. I think they fired him.
Because he wouldn't make uniforms?
Yeah. He wouldn't want to work on the uniforms.
Did he work between then and when he left for the Army?
No, I don't think so. He didn't work. After they fired him, he didn't work.
Okay.
He didn't work.
Uh-huh.
But I want to tell you that at that time, it was very common in Chicago that there were a lot of conscientious objectors, an awful lot. Everybody was against this war. Everybody was against this war. Because our boys were sent to Europe, not here. And everybody else said, if we love our country, and we would do anything to protect our country, but we didn't want to go to fight for somebody else, to get killed for somebody else. That's why it was very common at that time, conscientious objectors. So then, he went to work some ways. I don't remember where he went to work. We opened a store on Kastner and Van Buren. Mm. Kastner and Van Buren. You have this on?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Kastner and Van Buren. And we stayed there for 3.5 years. When, after that, my husband was offered by Turner Brothers a job. That was a clothing store. They're still existing, but before it was the fathers had the store. There were two brothers. Had
that was the first time. He went in there a series of times, and that was
several
the first
times.
Time,
that
right?
was the first time.
Okay.
Yeah. The first time.
That
was
making sense.
Yeah. You were asking me questions, and then I'll remind myself. And then he went to work over there, and you know that he used to get $75 a week. And that was a lot of money at that time, $75 a week. So I moved. He went to work to Turner Brothers, and I moved my apartment to 19 and Harding. I lived there for quite a while. I lived there. It was hard to get apartments, and I paid rent over there. $45 a stove feed apartment, and I had two boarders. They had a restaurant on 22nd Street. I lived on 19th Street, and this was on 22nd Street in Crawford. They had a restaurant. They were friends. They were not brothers. They were friends, and they slept in my house. Just slept. I had two bedrooms. And at that time, and my son slept on a couch in the kitchen. I had a great big kitchen. He slept on the couch. Then I planned another baby. When I moved in over there, I wanted another baby. So Sammy was already three and a half years old when I moved to that apartment. So then I had another baby. Then Sammy was 4.5 years old. In 1924, I had another baby, 1924. June the 5th, Faye was born. And I lived over there in this apartment, and we made those two boys to move. And the bedroom was for the two children. There I had two beds, a crib for the baby, and a bed for Sammy.
So, and then you stayed there until you moved to the store in Devon, right?
From there, my husband was making more money, and we wanted a nicer apartment, a steamy apartment. We moved to Van Buren and Holman Avenue. Van Buren ran this way. No, it couldn't be Van Buren and Holman. Holman was, right. Van Buren and Holman, yeah. We moved to Van Buren and Holman. And we had a lease for a year, or for 2 years, I don't remember. There was a much nicer apartment. We paid already $60 a month over there, and had steam over there. It was a beautiful apartment. So my husband decided, or somebody recommended them, I don't know, that there was a store on the south side on 65th and Woodlawn, a tailor store, that the people had made a lot of money in that store. And he wanted me to move, and I subleased it, the apartment. The baby was about a year old. We had a lease for 2 years or something like that. And I broke up my apartment and I went to live in the back of the store. And I was not happy there. I was not happy. I had no washroom. I had just a sink. It was an old building. And it was divided. It was what your partitions from the store to the maid in the back, a partition, one large room. And I wasn't happy, and I cried, and I fought with my husband once in a while about it, that I'm not happy. And he told me that, the other people live there with one child, and the other people made money over there.
I thought you had two children.
Yeah, I had two children. Faye was a little baby when I moved there. And so we decided, and this neighborhood was a very rich neighborhood. A lot of rich people used to live. So we decided to send my boy to a private school, because the school was not far away, but all the rich people used to send to private school the children from the neighborhood, and all the other children went to grammar school, and we sent him to Wisconsin. What was the name of the city? It was near Evansville, Wisconsin. It was not far from Madison, Wisconsin. Many times we used to take the kids and go to, when we used to be there in the school, to see the zoo in Madison, Wisconsin. It wasn't very far away. And he was there for several years. And Faye, she was a very lovable child. And we lived across the street from the St. Clair Church and the St. Clair School. So, and they had a lot of girlfriends that they used to attend the St. Clair School. And the sisters used to like her, the priests and the sisters used to come into our school, to our store many times, and they admired her. She was such a cute little child and a good child. So they used to take her to the school, they used to take her to church, she used to bring home, what is it that you get for Easter? I've got them over there. Pussy willows? She used to bring home, but they used to pass around for the holiday. She used to bring, and In fact, I started with the piano over there. They taught her how to play the piano there. And she was very happy over there because she was with her children that she knew and she played over there. And she went to school there till she was about 6 years old. In fact, they kept on promoting her all the time. She was so clever because I told her about the history, about the Ten Commandments, about the Bible. I used to tell her. So when she came over there to school, she knew all those little stories, and she always used to raise her hand. But I told the sisters not to teach her any religion. When she grew up, we'll give her a religion upbringing. But now she was too young to be mixed up. So I didn't want them to teach her. But she knew everything. She knew about Moses, and she knew about the about everything you could think of, she knew. And she raised her hand, so they gave her all these pictures, holy pictures they gave her. And she used to come home and save those holy pictures that they gave her for being an outstanding student. And from there, we sold our store. The neighborhood was changing all the time.
And it was changing while you were there?
Yeah, it was changing all the time. And it was changing. The change was, it turned into the hotels, and a lot of cheap people used to come in, and we couldn't make anything over there. So I said, just to stay and live, and I didn't like it there because I lived in the back of the store. So, but we made a lot of money over there in that store, at the time when the rich people used to live around there. So we sold the store, and we took a furnished apartment in the hotel. We stayed there for a couple of months, and from there we moved to the van. Okay. Then from there we moved to the van. We moved to the van You have it?
Yeah.
The store there is now Edler's store, a curtain shop there in the store. But I had an apartment. I didn't want to go to live in the back of the store. Anyways, there was no place because we had, it was a strictly fur shop, and we had the wall in the back. It was all the way walls we had.
The other shops weren't like that you had?
Oh, no. This was a new building, and it was a nice store.
But you didn't have furs in the other stores?
And yes, we had stores first too, but we didn't have so much equipment over there. It was an old store. We bought it out the other stores. But here was everything new. We bought ourselves. We bought ourselves the safes and the storage and the mirrors and the carpeting. We bought ourselves. We invested about $10,000 in furnishing the store. And we stayed there for 6 months, and we didn't even make 1 month expense. And then we opened the store back. We went back to the south side, but then it wasn't that far east. The other store was on Paulina and 79th Street. Paulina and 79th Street. Paulina and 79th Street.
So it wasn't the same kind of neighborhood that you were in with the other
one? No, this was a different kind of neighborhood. This was teachers, police, sergeants, city workers lived over here in that neighborhood. Very nice people. A lot of Irishmen lived over there. A very nice class of people. And he made very good over here too, until the Depression. In the Depression, the city workers were the first ones. The police and the teachers were the first ones not to get paid. They got every 3 months or every 6 months or whatever it was. And we were stuck at that time. We just couldn't make it go. But it was such a beautiful store that I just didn't want to give up that store. And my husband, they gave him a proposition again to Turner Brothers. 3 times he went to work there. But they were going to give him, and he took the job by Turner Brothers again, and that was the old people. Now the business is owned by the younger people, by their sons. But at that time, was still the two brothers, the father's of these here. punks.
Did he take it because the times were so hard and you weren't doing well at the store?
Yeah, he took it. And he took back, they gave him a good offer, but he went on the conditions that they're going to let him run the shop. Not, they shouldn't mix in anything. Because it was a uni shop and people didn't want to go to work over there. He couldn't get the people to work because they used to give him back the checks and do a lot of monkey business in there. So they let him do whatever he wanted, not the mixing. And I didn't want to give up the store. I begged him, let me go on with the store.
Even though you had no business?
No, I mean, I wanted to keep up the store, the business. So I would take in a man maybe to work or something. And he didn't want. He didn't want me to, so I advertised to sell the pictures. And there was a man on a ferrier, which he knew my husband. He came from the same town from Europe. And in fact, that man worked for my husband's father. And a sister of that man's worked for my husband's father, too, from Europe yet. And he bought off from me tables and machines he bought off. And another man, a brother-in-law of that same man, that bought the... there was a sister and a brother-in-law of that same man that bought part of the things that knew my husband, bought the safe and mirrors and many other things they bought because I had it in storage, so it was no use to keep that in storage. I had to pay for that. So they bought off the rest of it, and my husband went to work for Turner Brothers.
Lottie, at the same time, during the Depression is when you started looking for a job too, wasn't it? Okay.
Well, I started looking for a job yet when my son was away in the private school, and my little girl was already that time about 4 years or 4.5 years old. I decided I was going to put my girl in a private school too, and I'll go to work, but I didn't know anything what to do anymore. So we took her away, there where my boy was, in Weiler School. One of the teachers that used to be in the Weiler School opened a girls' school just across the street from them. And we thought that it was the wife of one of the teachers opened the girls' school. And one was teaching violence, and the girls' school was across the street. We thought that the girl, she liked her brother, that would be able to see each other because they had one dining room. I think they must have been affiliated to the school, the violence school, with that school. And she thought that she was going to see her brother all the time. And it was so when the boys came. There was a boys' school and a girls' school. The girls' school ate separate and the boys' school ate separate. And the girls' school had little gardens and the boys' school had a little garden separate. It was just not across the street. It was a country road, like a country road. Uh-huh. It was a little bit out of the city. So she always wanted to see her brother. She cried. She was a crybaby, like her mama was a crybaby once upon a time. So in the meantime, I was home. And I went out to look for a job, and I couldn't get a job in tailoring, and nobody knew me. So I went to learn millinery.
Where was that?
Here in Chicago, millinery. I went to look for a job. It was advertised in the paper, so I thought I'll go up. Also somewhere around Washington, around there where we were today. And I went over there. And I went over there and I got a job and they showed me how to do millinery. It was nothing to it. It was just to give you a bunch of linings to put in the linings in the heads, or to sew up a flower or sew up a vein. So anybody could have done this here. And I used to make $8 a week or $6. It depends. They were piecework at that time. And then I worked there only a couple of days. When I came home one night, it was on the Thursday or Friday, we used to go every 2 weeks to see a brother. So my husband said, you know what, I'm very lonesome. Let's go to see the kids. You know, all of a sudden both kids were away. Let's go to see the kids. So we went Sunday morning to see the kids. When we got to the grounds where my